high of 42, northeast winds at 5 to 15. Mostly cloudy tonight, a low of 28. Then for the weekend, scattered light snow and rain showers on Saturday, a high of just 38. For Sunday, partly sunny skies, still on the chilly side, a high of around 40. Right now, clouds and 36. I'm David Cole, WGTD News. Support for the morning show comes from the Carthage College Office of Continuing Studies, providing graduate and accelerated certification programs in education to start or advance a career in teaching. Convenient evening and summer courses are designed for the working adult. More information at carthage.edu/grad. Support also comes from Andrea's, Kenosha's Easter store since 1911, featuring Fannie Mae buttercream eggs, Madeleine milk duck and Wright chocolate bunnies, old-fashioned fruit-flavored Pecton jelly bean, and Buddy Squirrel and Russell Stover eggs. Andrea's, 24th Avenue and 60th Street. And we welcome you to the Friday morning show on WGTD-HD. I'm Gregory Berg. Good morning, I'm David Cole, filling in today for Greg Berg, who at the time of this taping is a little bit under the weather. We, of course, hope he gets well fast, primarily because I do a lousy Greg Berg impersonation. But a guy who does a really great Brian Albrecht impersonation is sitting right across the table from me. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Dave.
This is Brian Albrecht, the president of Gateway Technical College, paying his monthly visit to the radio station and the morning show. So how are things going at Gateway?
They're going terrific, Dave. And just I want you to know that I'm really glad that you're hosting this program, too. But I do enjoy my time with Greg. He's a great host for the morning show. And I want to give him a big shout-out for his recent recognition for years of service between Carthage and Gateway, and the fact that people are going to have a chance to take a look at some of the authors that he had interviewed over the 30 years. And he's just been a great symbolic representative of quality and service to our community, helping us here at WGTD and certainly all the students over at Carthage.
It was a wonderful event, and we certainly congratulate Greg on his 30 years here at WGTD. A few things you want to talk about, Brian, including a U.S. Chamber Summit on Reviving the American Dream. What's all that about?
Yeah, thanks, Dave. You know, I'm always so encouraged and excited and proud of Gateway Technical College, and we get invited to the White House occasionally, and we're a part of a lot of national dialogues on the importance of business and education partnerships. And 2 weeks ago, we were invited to the United States Chamber to participate in an event called Reviving the American Dream. And the focus was really a collection of about 60 different organizations around the country, including about a half a dozen community and technical colleges, Gateway being one of those, to take a sharp, focused look at how to develop pathways to help young people and adults identify where opportunities are within communities and what we can do collectively as a nation based on a number of organizations to generate support in strengthening our business and education partnerships. And we've been known for that here at Gateway with some of our great partners as SEJ and Ocean Spray and Snap-on and Train and many of the others that help us every day do the great work that we're doing on campus. So to celebrate that and showcase it at a national level like this was really important. The results of the work will be put together in a white paper that the United States Chambers will be sending out to local area chambers of commerce. So the Kenosha Chamber and Racine area manufacturers will receive this, and some state organizations will receive it, with the idea that there are some best practices that are happening around the country, and maybe those chambers can take a leadership role in providing a conversation within a community on how business and education can collectively work to strengthen opportunities for youth.
Mm-hmm. And another grant to talk about, also sort of involving the same thing, career pathways.
Yes, I'm really excited about this one because Gateway is one of 20 colleges in the nation to be selected by the American Association of Community Colleges, AACC for short, to participate in a funding initiative sponsored by the Lumina Foundation to help develop pathways that have embedded industry credentials. So what we've done at Gateway for the last 10 to 15 years in taking industry certifications, aligning them with academic programs, so a student might graduate in automotive, but with also an ASE certification and a Snap-on certification, or they might graduate in welding with an American Welding Society certification, that integration of the academic and the industry credentials. And so the Lumina Foundation is doing some deep dive studies with, like I said, about 20 different colleges and how this works, and again, to develop some best practices. And, you know, our effort here to strengthen that talent pipeline, whether it's through middle school partnerships, high school partnerships, now the Gateway Promise that we announced last month to really build affordability into the model, is all only predicated by the fact that we're helping students get jobs at the end of the line. So the integration of the industry credentials is absolutely critical.
And on the other end, a lot of this has to do with making sure that middle school students and high school students are aware of all, you know, all what's out there in terms of the opportunities for an education and career. And that's not an easy thing.
It's not. You know, it's a challenge. And I remind myself and our team, it seems like we just told this story. How come no one's listening? Well, it's a new group of students every year. It's a new group of parents every year. And so while we think we might have, you know, shared a lot of information with last year's parents of juniors in high school, there will be another group of parents of juniors of high schools in a few short months. So it's a steady effort. There's a lot that's changed in the economy. There's a lot of things that have changed on our campuses as far as the types of programs that we offer and the technology that changes the skill certifications and requirements that individuals have to be successful in the job market. So we work real hard in trying to stay close to our community, especially our business partners, because our goal here, our mission is to help students not only achieve personal success, provide leadership within our community, but also career success. So how do we link them to the right jobs? And it happens in a lot of different ways, marketing. And last week I had a chance to attend our Gateway College Foundation Scholarship event, which was remarkable. 400 people from throughout the community attended that event, and we were awarded over $129,000 in scholarship funds to students so that they could make that little bit of a bridge, help them maybe with their next semester and get closer to completion and graduation, and ultimately better support for their families, better paying job, and a greater mm-hmm. support for all of us in our communities.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the initiatives that Gateway has undertaken in the last few years to try to build stronger connections with middle schools and high schools? And
yeah, that's probably one of our more exciting events over the last few years. You know, we've expanded our career days, lots of open houses. We bring a lot of young people to campus. October is National Manufacturing Month. We spend time showcasing a lot of the manufacturing programs that we have. But we work with the Boys and Girls Club, and we have a health day for Boys and Girls Club. They come on campus, and they get a chance to learn about dental care or protective services and lots of different things. One of the most exciting things that we're doing right now, in fact, we're building out what's called a mobile training lab. So we'll actually have a vehicle. In my mind, I'm thinking it's like a bus or a truck that will be full of exploratory curriculum activities that we'll take out to the elementary schools, wow, the middle schools, and the high schools, just to expose students to what all of these different opportunities mm-hmm. are. Because even when we bring students to campus, it's usually for an hour or two, so it's not necessarily enough time to get them thinking about a career. They get excited about what they see, but to start thinking about a career, you've got to do a little bit more in-depth planning. So we're going to have a mobile lab that will go out there. We've also expanded our College Connection program, where in the past we've had specialists that went to the high schools and worked with teachers and counselors about articulation of curriculum so that high school students could receive college credit. We now added a middle school specialist, so we have someone dedicated to working with middle schools on career exploration. So The role of Gateway in serving the adult population is always our cornerstone, but boy, we've got to do a lot of work in the talent pipeline way back in the elementary schools.
And helping the cause is a brand new Gateway Technical College website.
Absolutely.
And that's got to be a great educational and marketing tool.
Yeah, you know why that's so exciting is because it's now mobile-friendly. And so for all those of us that live on our cell phones, sometimes traditional websites are difficult to manage on a smartphone because you can't get all of the information on a small screen. So when you adapt that site to a mobile-friendly site, it shortens the amount of information, makes it more accessible through click of a button, apps, and things like that. And so we're really excited. It's been very successful in its initial launch, and I think something that will add instant response for our students and make life a lot easier for them to explore careers at Gateway.
Before we move on to our guest today, and you already touched on this a little bit, but is there anything else you want to add about the College Foundation Scholarship event?
Yeah, I'd just like to, again, thank all our donors for their generous support of our foundation. We have so many great initiatives under the foundation, including helping us build out our Center for Sustainable Living, our Law Enforcement Academy Training Center, partnership with Every Child's Place, most recently just the acknowledgement of Mike Reeder and the new RPM Center over on the Elkhorn campus. All of that effort comes back through our foundation, and they do great work. They sponsor a golf outing, which will be coming up in May, so I hope our listeners that are interested in enjoying the spring weather will consider participating in some way through the foundation.
And just one more question. You got to talk a little bit about the spring semester wrapping up, and I'm sure registration is very close to being underway for the summer semester.
Absolutely, Dave. In fact, current students are already in the registration process, so that's an important part. I can never even put time frames on whether we start or end a semester because it seems to kind of bleed into one into the next. But you're right. Students are in competitions right now for the end of their terms, demonstrating their skills. There's job interview applications that are taking place, career fairs on campus, graduation paperwork that needs to be filled out. And it's a very exciting time to be on campus because we get to help people achieve their goal and see that sort of light at the end of the rainbow while other students are just starting. Summer term is getting ready to roll out. We run 15-week terms, three of them, so Gateway's open all year long. So whether you're coming directly from high school and enrolling for the first time, you can get a jump on your fall semester, or if you're an adult coming back for additional courses and want to shorten up the amount of time that it's going to take to get your degree, we're here for you.
Very good.
Yeah, I'm just really pleased because, you know, today we have an exciting opportunity to talk a little bit about the changes that are taking place in some of those programs, especially as it hits home in the manufacturing sector for all of us. And we've made a lot of investments in manufacturing over the years, and we've got a new great partner that's here with us today, Matt Kirkner, who has really been instrumental in helping us build out some capacity in our manufacturing areas. And I just spoke with some of our faculty earlier, and Matt's going to be joining an advisory committee for us and giving us some guidance and advice. And he is the new president of Lab Midwest. And we've had some transition at Lab Midwest. They've been a great partner in technology ed for many years. But under Matt's leadership, we're really excited about where that organization is going and how Gateway might leverage some of those unique partnerships. So, Matt, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Brian.
To have you with us. Maybe we'll start off if you could just share with our audience a little bit about yourself. How did you end up in this role and what Gateway means to your future?
Absolutely. Well, let me just start off by thanking both you and Dave for having me today and for letting you know that I've got huge respect for what you do here at Gateway. Brian and I had the opportunity not too long ago to tour the campus, and you can tell the culture of an organization just by watching its people and watching how they interact with its leader. I was amazed at how comfortable the students and the faculty were around you, the level of professionalism and the level of expertise that they had. I'm sure you remember sitting through the birthing simulation and just watching the instructors interact with really, really interested and talented students, and the technology that's involved in that nursing program really left a mark on me. So you're doing great things here, and there are things that we're really, really proud to be a part of. I'm a huge advocate for what you do here, also a huge advocate for what happens in American manufacturing. I spent 20-plus years in industry. I had the opportunity to run three, somewhat significant manufacturing companies here in the state, two in southeastern Wisconsin, one up in the Fox Valley, employing hundreds of people, and seeing really the impact that manufacturing has on our way of life and on our standard of living here in the state of Wisconsin and across America. You know, people don't realize that manufacturing accounts for 1 in 6 private sector jobs here in the United States. It accounts for every $1 that's spent in direct manufacturing of products, another $1.37 resonates through the economy. Manufacturers do 75% of all private sector R&D here in the United States. And so our very standard of living and our very way of life here depends significantly on manufacturing and on the future of the manufacturing economy. And that's an economy that's at risk in many ways. As you know, we're having more and more challenges finding young people, as you discussed earlier in the program, getting interested in careers in manufacturing. And these are great careers and exciting careers. And so that's something that we're excited to be working with you on. As far as Lab Midwest is concerned, as you suggested, we took over the leadership of the business here within the last year. It's a company that's been around for 4 years. And we provide primarily education institutions and industry with the curriculum, the e-learning, and the training equipment that they then use to train students and young people for careers in manufacturing and older people as well for careers in manufacturing. Things like CNC operation, welding, industrial automation, robotics, industrial maintenance, things that I know are really important to you here at Gateway. So people say, what does Lab Midwest train? We don't train anything. What we do is we provide you with the tools and the curriculum that you use then to train your students. And so we're so very appreciative of the relationship we have here at Gateway.
Absolutely. You know, I'd forgotten that your first visit to campus, we went on a tour.
We did.
And we were walking through the healthcare nursing labs, and the students were going through a live demonstration. Well, not live. It was a mannequin on childbirth. And so I pulled Matt in and said, here, let's see what the kind of technology and what types of skills students need to learn. And that was pretty remarkable to see that. So while it had nothing to do specifically with manufacturing, it was, I think, a good experience to kind of demonstrate the diversity of the skill sets that our students need to have. And your leadership already helping us move forward with our Reeder Precision Machining Center, what we're doing over on the Racine campus, and really helping to think through the elevation of our curriculum and giving students more flexibility through e-learning options has been a great asset for us.
So, Matt, where are you located and how many employees do you have?
Great question. And we look at that a couple different ways. We've got several offices. Our headquarters is in Mequon, Wisconsin, just north of Milwaukee. We've got another office in the Milwaukee area. We added an office just recently in the Minneapolis area, so now we've got two offices in the state of Minnesota. So four offices all together. In terms of employees, there's a couple different ways to look at it. You know, we work with companies like FANUC, the robotic and CNC provider. We work with Amitrol down in Jefferson, Indiana. We work with closely with Lincoln Electric. Those companies that we represent have tens of thousands of employees across the United States. And what we do is we act as an intermediary between them and customers like Gateway to make sure that we're providing solutions. So we've got, I think we're up to seven people now, believe it or not. That was three people a year ago, and continuing to grow the organization.
Wow. And where's the actual manufacturing done?
So the manufacturing is done by our suppliers. So let's take an example. One of the things we have here at the Advanced Manufacturing Center in Sturtevant is FANUC robots. And those robots, FANUC has about 50% of the market in industrial robotics in the United States. The other six manufacturers have the other 50%. So FANUC manufactures that robot. They'll manufacture it either here in the United States. They've got a huge facility in Rochester Hills, Michigan. And so they will manufacture the product. They design the curriculum and so on.
So that's really important because at Gateway and other schools, it's hard to know exactly what the leading edge is in the industry. So organizations like Matt's bring that service to us. We train on FANUC robots, but we don't necessarily go directly to FANUC to get those robots. We go through a distributor network, and along with that network of supplies of resources comes the training and, you know, the continued support for our faculty to take a look at next generation and how can we best manipulate that equipment into our curriculum. And so that's a unique skill set that organizations like Matt's brings to us.
Yeah, I was just going to say, the organization is 4 years old, you said?
40.
40?
Yes.
Okay, that's a big difference.
Yep.
Okay, so you've been around a long time.
The organization certainly has. It was founded by my father, actually, in the early 1970s, so it's a family business, but in a lot of ways it has the feel of a startup. We're doing a lot of exciting things and building on really a great foundation that's been created over 40 years.
And I would think just over the change in education in general, I mean, you look at curriculums and labs at high schools all the way through colleges and universities, they've changed so much over those last 40 years, and especially in the last 10 years, you know, you think about new programming and Project Lead the Way and all of the different technologies that teachers are more comfortable with. So robotics is a pretty common thing in high school today.
It is, and you're seeing more and more of it. And you're seeing more and more interest in certainly teaching robotics, but also teaching robotics on the equipment that students are going to see when they get to industry. And I know that's something that's really important to you here at Gateway is, you know, we want to teach the theory and we want to teach the basics, but when they get into their job or their career in industry, we want what they're seeing to look familiar to them. And so that's something that's really important to
us.
Yeah,
that's absolutely. I know you've met a lot of our faculty, and I like to keep in my mind, okay, the bigger the better is what they like. They want real world application. So they want a CNC machine that can actually produce a part. They want a welder that's going to be able to put pieces together, and they want a robot that they would typically see if they went into industry.
So exactly. Right. And at the same time, there are also tons and tons of tools to allow us to give students a great pathway from a tool like a simulator that uses the same teach pendant that they might see in industry or the same CNC controller that they'll see in industry, but then programming a virtual solution as opposed to an actual robot or an actual CNC machine, then taking what they've learned in that simulated environment to the piece of equipment right. and learning additional skills there and then taking that on to industry. So to your point, Brian, the advent of technology and the way that technology is changing the way that we're teaching and training industrial skills has had a huge impact.
Okay. So it strikes me that one of your challenges, Matt, is really working hard to stay ahead of the curve. I mean, how do you know what's coming down the pike in terms of, you know, the kind of equipment that you need to supply to schools? And of course, that probably involves being aware of what's going on in industry.
Yes, absolutely, Dave. That's a fantastic question. And that's one of the bases that I think we cover extremely well. You know, we've got the education background, being in the business for 40 years. We've got the technical background. We've got an individual on our staff who's actually a master's degree engineer. And then the industrial part of it. And that's really what speaks to what we should be teaching at the technical college and at the high school level. I had the opportunity to work through 20 years in manufacturing with some of the more recognizable manufacturing names in the Midwest, companies like Harley-Davidson, Oshkosh Truck, John Deere, Toyota, Cummins, and some right here in the local economy, such as InSinkErator and Snap-on and Cree and Kenall, to really get an understanding of what it is that industry is looking for from its education partners and making sure that we're training to the right skills.
That's why it's so important that we extend partnerships like this with Matt and others, because each program has an industry advisory committee, but that advisory committee only meets once per semester. So we get a little bit of feedback for a couple of hours during that semester term. And with Matt's relationship that's being built out with all of our faculty, that consistency in the information that's being shared isn't strictly dependent upon the advisory committee meeting. That all of that work is done, and the advisory committee meeting is really to solidify, is everyone on the same page, and where do we want to take the program going forward from here? So we're constantly revising our programs and our curriculum and the classroom experience, which is really ultimate what our goal is here, to make sure that our students are fully engaged and have the skill sets that's going to make them successful.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. One of the things that we did at Lab Midwest over the course of the last several months was to reach out to about 80 industrial partners and ask them personally, what specifically do you want to see from your technical colleges? What skills are important? What basic knowledge is important? What operations are you seeing in your environment? And how do we then act as a liaison to the technical colleges to talk about what we think they should be teaching to make sure that students are industry ready when they get to industry?
Mm-hmm. Matt, I'm kind of interested to learn how the equipment has changed over the years that you provide. I mean, what you're providing today, the robots and this, must be just completely different from 40 years ago.
Sure, completely different, even from maybe 4 years ago. The rate of change in that environment is amazing. The exponential economy, as we call it, is alive and well in industrial education. I would point to a few things, Dave, that I think, and we could make a list as long as your arm about mm-hmm. things that are changing, but the first one is one we touched on already, and that's the increasing use of simulation and being able to use computer-simulated environments to train young people and learners, other learners, on a simulated environment, much more cost-effective in terms of being able to deliver the learning. That graduates into things like virtual reality. It would blow your mind to see a virtual reality welding booth where you're actually putting on a welding helmet, and you stand there with the helmet on. It feels like you're in an industrial environment or on a construction site, and we're training students to weld in that environment. It's a safe environment. There's no air emissions, incredibly efficient, instantaneous feedback. So that's an example. We're doing the same thing with painting and paint simulation, mm-hmm. where students are putting on a virtual reality pair of painting glasses or pair of glasses and actually looking as though they're in an actual industrial environment. And so getting that hands-on motor skill and that hands-on experience without necessarily being hands-on right off the bat makes a huge difference in terms of how we're delivering learning. I think the third thing is, and Brian mentioned it earlier, the advent of e-learning and looking at more opportunities to reach out with people's changing lifestyles, and it's tougher and tougher sometimes to get on campus. How do we use e-learning tools to train some of the basics and then get them on campus to do the hands-on authentic assessment? And that's been a huge change in our industry mm-hmm. as well.
You know, I would echo everything that Matt has shared with us. I've tried one of those virtual welders. I have to admit I'm not very good at it, but it is a really cool experience to put the helmet on and feel like you're actually producing a bead down to weld, and it's a really great way to help people take that first step into the skills. Because of this reason, it develops what's called an LMS, a learning management system. So behind the scenes, it's giving you critiques on how well you're doing. So you are constantly learning throughout the process. You don't have to go into a welding booth and weld a bead and then try to find someone to tell you what you did wrong later. It gives you instant feedback. And I think the way that these technologies have been integrated into the experiential learning with the responsive feedback loop and the learning management systems helps to create greater accountability for the skills that individuals are learning, helps instructors and teachers be more responsive to the individual sets of skills that students have. So no longer is it a group of 10 that are all doing the same thing at the same time. You can individualize experiences and help people really reach their potential in a much more conducive way.
Mm-hmm. Well, another question here. Matt, how does Lab Midwest help companies or schools develop interest and excitement in the minds of students to pursue technical careers?
Well, and that's the biggest challenge, isn't it, Brian and Dave? And that's where we play, we think, a significant role. You know, there was a study done by the Manufacturing Institute about a year and a half ago, and they went to 23,000 young people, and they said, what are the things that influence you in your decision to enter a career? And some of the things you would expect to be on the list are on the list. They point to teachers and guidance counselors and family members and parents. But the number one thing that influences a student's decision about what they want to do for a career, and it wasn't even close, three times more than anything else on the list. Number one thing that they point to is their own interests and experiences. What have they been exposed to? And so to me, the biggest opportunity, and it's again something Brian touched on earlier, that we have to get young people interested in careers in industry and manufacturing is to expose them to those careers when they're young, when they're in middle school and when they're in high school. If I've never seen a CNC controller, I don't know that that's even a career choice. If I've never worked on an industrial robot, I don't know that that's a job. The number four job, by the way, in the country as far as job satisfaction. So that's a big piece of it. The other part of it we do is we spend a lot of time with industry. You know, I spoke, I guess it was about 3 weeks ago in Orlando at a National Trade Association meeting, 200 people in the audience, and I said, raise your hand if in the last year you have visited your local high school to talk about careers in manufacturing. This was a manufacturing trade association. Two hands went up out of 200 people. And we ask about, have you mentored a high school student? Have you had your high school students come and visit your plant to see what it's all about? Do you have the kind of culture in your organization where somebody would want to work? Is it clean? Is it safe? Is it comfortable? Are you taking care of your people? Are you training them? Are you providing opportunities for advancement so somebody can see, yes, I can start out as a production welder, and in 5 or 10 years I can be a mechanical designer, or I could be running that plant. Those kind of pathways are available to people in manufacturing. But manufacturing has to tell its story. Industry has to tell its story. We can't, and I was in that business, so I'm in the nice position of being able to point the finger a little bit because I was somebody that was guilty of some of these same things. We've got to get out and be evangelists for what these careers are all about. There's huge opportunities for people in manufacturing careers, but they need to be exposed to it at a younger and younger age.
But, you know, I've kind of seen the tide changing, certainly in this area with Gateway Technical College. I'm seeing more and more businesses like yourself getting involved in places like Gateway. And I know, you know, the CABAs and the RAMAC, the MACs and some of these other associations, they constantly preach that businesses need to get involved in the education process, that you just can't harp on your local technical school to supply trained people and sit on the sidelines and do nothing. Do you not see that tide change?
There's no question that it's starting to change. And to your point, you know, I write the monthly management column for Production Machining and for Products Finishing magazine. My December edition of that particular column, I wrote about "The Skills Gap Is Your Fault" was the name of the title of the article. And one of the things that I said that industry can't do is we can't point the finger or blame our technical colleges or expect experts from our technical colleges necessarily. We're supposed to get them, you know, get students a good basis of understanding of what it is that they should know, so that when they get to industry, then they can build on those skills. So to your point, Dave, absolutely, we're starting to see that tide change. It's changing slowly. You know, manufacturers and industrial people tend to be somewhat introverted. They're focused on their process. They're focused internally. But I think we're starting to see a realization that with 10,000 people in this country reaching the age of 65 every single day, if we don't solve this problem and we don't maintain a robust manufacturing sector, we're not going to have the standard of living that we've been able to enjoy over the last half a century.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think each of us have to accept some responsibility for creating the story about what has been the strength of our community and what the future of our communities are. And I just share with just this quick analogy. I mentioned it earlier. very rarely is my first meeting with a potential business partner in my office, and Matt knows this. So first meeting is on campus. Let's go take a look at what we do, right? And so we all really only know what we know. So if you don't expose people, even our local businesses, about, you know, how has Gateway changed and what are the new types of programs that we have and what does a training lab of 2016 look like? It's very different from even 2010. So we've got to bring people in and show them and create that story. And from an employer side, I try to remind our partners, think of us as part of your supply chain. If you had a piece of your product that wasn't up to spec or quality, you wouldn't wait for something else to fix it. You would get on the phone and you would try to figure out what it is that you can do to improve your supply chain. It's the same with talent development. If you're not getting the types of employees you need, or if you don't know where those employees are being trained, then you need to be a part of that solution and not anticipate that ultimately someone will find a better way to train CNC operators or welders. You've got to be a part of that. And that's what advisory committees do, and that's what Matt and many other organizations are helping us lead here at Gateway.
Mm-hmm. What's the word that you hear from manufacturers in terms of some of the financial pressures that they're under in terms of being able to afford to pay the kinds of salaries that sometimes are needed, I would suspect, in order to draw students into the profession?
Absolutely. Well, the first thing I tell young people considering careers in manufacturing is that the average manufacturing salary in the United States is over $77,000 a year. That's the average. Now, you don't start there. You certainly don't start there. But we have people graduating from careers or from programs in things like industrial automation, where there's huge demand and huge job satisfaction. And a $50,000 salary right out of a two-year program is not unheard of. In fact, it's kind of the norm. And so, from a financial standpoint, certainly employers have an obligation to make sure that they're paying market wages. But when you look at careers in manufacturing, these are family sustaining jobs. These are family sustaining careers, and frankly, much better paying opportunities than you might find in other areas of the economy.
Yeah, I think part of the challenge is, you know, we try to simplify things so easy, and we use a broad term called manufacturing. And in many people's mindset, that means that you're going to work on an assembly line and you're going to be paid an hourly rate. And when you take a look at just some of the unique programs that we offer in manufacturing, we mentioned a few of them, computer numerical control, but here's another one, mechatronics. And that's how machines talk to machines. And so that science and that technology between building automated systems, that's a very lucrative skill set once a student achieves that. And it's very different. So if young people like computer animation and computer graphics and computer gaming, that's building automation systems. I mean, that's how you program buildings today to function properly. And those are all the simulations that you're talking about. All of that integrated experience where students are excited about gaming. Can you leverage your excitement about gaming into building computer simulations for aviation, for automotive, for manufacturing, for healthcare? You know, our birthing simulation that we saw together is really, it's a robotic component, mechatronics, integrated with a simulation. So it's a computer screen that demonstrates all the things that are happening to the human body. And someone designs and programs all of that, and that's manufacturing.
That's exactly right. And over 50%, well over 50% of the career opportunities in manufacturing today are skilled jobs. You're right. It's not the old-fashioned assembly line. It's not what we teach in our high school students and our history books about Henry Ford and sweatshops and mass production. We're talking about computers, talking to computers, programming robots, understanding the computers that control manufacturing systems, troubleshooting. It's a really, really exciting environment, but it's a skilled environment. And that's a skill that employees can take from employer to employer, which creates job security for them, both within the company that they're working for, but also opportunities if they decide they want to do something else further down in their career. So a lot of times we have this paradigm being the assembly line of the 1960s and the 1970s, and if folks haven't been into a manufacturing or industrial setting in the last 10 years, you got to get there. It's a totally different world than what people would expect.
And what you're saying, plenty of opportunity for advancement down the road.
I can tell you story after story, Dave. I'll give you an example of a young man that started loading and unloading machines at the manufacturing company I ran up in Chilton, Wisconsin. He was good at that. We promoted him to a position of running what we called the dip line. He was great at that. He became a supervisor. Good at that. He actually went away to a two-year college and didn't go away. I mean, he stayed working and earned that credential, came back to us, and now he's running three plants. He's running a plant in Indiana, a plant in Iowa, a plant in Wisconsin, two-year degree, lives in the same town that he grew up in, four blocks from his parents. All his buddies are coming back with four-year degrees in philosophy and history, and that's fine. This guy's making three or four times what they're able to make. He loves his job, and I could sit here with you for 2 hours and tell you examples like that. Huge opportunities for advancement in manufacturing.
I heard something really clever the other day. So we talk a lot about history would say the blue-collar workforce, and then maybe it was turned to the gold-collar workforce, and then there's the white-collar workforce, and really the workforce of today is the silver-collar workforce. That means that so many people in the workforce at any one of those levels are getting ready to retire or are retiring. 10,000 a day, I think, is the number right now. So you're right, building opportunity and having students take responsibility for their own learning and building skill sets that are going to give them opportunities to advance in an industry is such a great time in our life and our history to be able to do that.
And a lot of this starts with something called STEM. Correct?
It does. Science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. I mean, we really help students try to realize that it's different. You need to have a scientific and mathematics base between you and whatever career you're trying to advance into. And STEM education has been a focal point for many of our schools, and especially in Gateway's relationship with our high schools, to encourage and excite young people, boys and girls, to get into more technologically related careers. But you have to do it with the understanding that these are math and science-based programs, and we need you to continue your focus on your academics and apply those in a technological setting, and that's how you'll advance in your career.
So is there any data to indicate that programs like STEM actually are paying off at the end of the line in high school, that students aren't saying, well, this was a great experience, but I'm going to become a doctor or a lawyer or something like that? I mean, is there any
proof? Yeah, Gateway's a part, and we serve on a board called STEM Connector in partnership with Snap-on Incorporated. These are corporations that are vested in the concept of STEM and making financial investments in time and energy investments with their resources. But it certainly is demonstrated by the number of job openings, and the job openings related to engineering and STEM education continues to grow. It's the fastest growing occupational area in a larger sector. In fact, the United States Department of Education has recognized STEM now as a major component of the next generation economy. And I think if you take a look at the graduation rates of the programs that we're talking about, our manufacturing graduation rates, our mechatronics graduation rates, our engineering graduation rates, and the availability of the jobs that are there, so our direct placement rates for that, it seems to demonstrate that those career paths are leading toward good jobs in our home communities. And the only other thing I'd mention about STEM is that sometimes we get focused on this must just be for engineers or mathematicians or manufacturers, but it does include healthcare, it does include the arts, it includes all industry sectors, because basically today we all need to have another level of educational knowledge base in order to be successful. So while 20 years ago maybe a 9th grade or a 12th grade education was enough, it's just not today. You've got to be able to have higher level thinking skills, critical problem solving skills, application of technology skills, the understanding at least of basic computer technology in order to survive on a very entry-level career.
Mm-hmm. Matt, anything you want to add on that?
Well, certainly. I think STEM has played a huge role in the manufacturing area as well, as Brian suggested and as we've talked about. As these jobs become more and more skilled, the ability to think critically and the ability to be able to use science and technology and engineering and math skills are important across a wide array of different careers. One of the things that we see as a trend is moving more and more toward what I refer to as applied STEM. And so we can, we're doing some great things at our middle schools and our high schools from the standpoint of teaching STEM in areas like aerodynamics and photovoltaic cells and so on. I think there's a move toward marrying the needs that industry has of its employees and its potential employees with what we're doing at the STEM level. So a lot of the things that we think about when we think about science and technology, we can teach materials and we can teach thermodynamics and we can teach structures in a welding program on a welder. And we can teach Ohm's Law in an electronics program. And so what we're doing then is we're teaching some of these basic understanding of STEM mathematics and STEM principles and tying that then to an industry skill. And so as a result of that, students are simultaneously getting their exposure to STEM and getting their exposure to what they're going to see in industry once they get there. And I think getting that interest level up so that they understand what a welder is and what a CNC machine is and what a robot is. I think the other thing that we're going to see, and this is, again, something that Brian touched on in his initial remarks, is an increased focus on tying STEM to a certification so that we're getting that basic understanding, but we're also tying it to an industry-recognized certification in something like CNC or robotics programming or the industrial maintenance one is coming via NIMS. So that an employer gets a employee or a team member that that they know has a certification in a specific duty area with the STEM underneath it and that skill and a job-ready skill that they can then use when they get into the industry.
Great. In a moment, I'd like to give Brian a chance to talk about the new manufacturing facility out in Elkhorn. But I just want to remind our listeners that you're listening to WGTD. This is The Morning Show. I am not Greg Berg. He's a little bit under the weather today, at least as we conduct this taping. I'm David Cole. Brian, now might be a good time to talk a little bit about some of the new manufacturing facilities at Gateway.
I'd be happy to do that. You know, a few years ago, we introduced to our community the SC Johnson Integrated Manufacturing Technology Center called IMET. And at IMET, we do some really remarkable things, including hosting a fab lab, which is additive manufacturing and 3D printing, commercial design and rapid prototyping engineering. We also have our traditional academic programs, civil engineering, mechanical engineering, electrical engineering, biomechanical engineering, freshwater technology, and all of those engineering programs connected to a research and design center like US Fab Lab. And what we've built at IMET is adding tremendous value, especially as it relates to what we just talked about in STEM education. Recently, we opened our mechatronics lab there to really help foster automated manufacturing systems development, partnership with ABB and with Krohn's technology, and it's what Niagara Bottling uses to help advocate advanced manufacturing. It's where we house our CNC boot camp training programs and some really highly specialized areas, and it's been so successful in helping to integrate those skill sets that we advanced a second center very similar to that on the Elkhorn campus, just completed construction, and on April 20th, we'll be having our ribbon cutting. We're naming it the RPM Center after a great friend of ours who is the president and owner of Precision Plus in the Elkhorn community, Mike Reeder. And so that center will also have an additive manufacturing component to it, full-scale production in CNC, have one unique piece that we don't have on any other campus called Swiss Screw Technology, which I like to refer to as micro-machining, but it's very high-precision machining, one of the only few colleges in the country to have one of those Swiss Screw Technology machines. We're increasing our capacity with robotics, and Matt has been very kind in helping us with some FANUC robot networks in there, some welding, and expanded welding and virtual welding that's taking place on that campus. We will be building out additional engineering programs on that campus to kind of replicate this whole idea of integrated technology. So Gateway is making investments in these programs because we know there's a need in our community, and we know that it's also a very popular area for students to continue to advance their education.
Mm-hmm. Great. Anything you want to add, Matt?
Well, I would tell you, first of all, that as suggested earlier, we've got a ton of respect for what Brian and his team are doing at Elkhorn and across all the campuses here at Gateway in the way of advanced manufacturing. And so the truth is that that's where the jobs are, and it's not just where the jobs are, it's where the careers are. And so as we talk to young people and we talk to their parents about what they should be considering from a career standpoint, we really want them to think about those manufacturing careers, and facilities like the ones that you've got here at Gateway give us a great opportunity to do it. Manufacturing is a great place to do business. It's where I've earned my living for over 20 years. It's a place where you get to work with your head and your hands. So for folks that like hands-on type of work and the satisfaction of looking at what they got done over the course of a day, it's just a great place to be. No 2 days are the same. You're making the products that drive America, products in automotive and in agriculture and in, you know, boat engines and kitchen products and defense equipment, you know, you name it, that's where it's at, and it's a place where there's just a ton of innovation going on, and your voice is heard as an employee of a manufacturing operation. You know, we're done with the days of putting people out on a shop floor and saying this is where you work and just, you know, do your job. Employers want to hear from their employees. They want to know how we can improve processes. With the advent of things like lean and continuous improvement and Kaizen, it's making a huge difference. Brian touched on the amazing cutting-edge technology and the Internet of Things that takes place in a manufacturing environment. And we've talked about the opportunities for growth in manufacturing. So it's a great place to be. It's a satisfying place. It's a rewarding place. It's a place that, you know, as I suggested, I made a living for a long, long time. And it's a place that young people and their parents should really take a look at if they're interested in a career in manufacturing, and a career that's rewarding, and a place that they can earn a great living and enjoy a great standard of life for an entire career.
Brian, how has the skilled labor gap changed how Gateway trains students?
Oh, night and day. I mean, you know, Gateway for a long time has certainly been connected to our community and trying to assure that there's a talent pipeline investment there. But over the last 10 years, as we've been really trying to better understand where do we expand programs, it's been driving our program expansion. So the Elkhorn Manufacturing came as a direct result of employers saying we cannot find workers, and we want to partner with Gateway to develop training programs to make that a reality. Our partnership at Lakeview Academy and making sure that high school students earn technical college credits while they're in high school so that they upfront the talent pipeline a little bit quicker. The expansion of our business partnerships in the area of industry certifications to align curriculum with industry credentials, another effort to address the skills gap. But it's not just manufacturing. It's in IT. It's in healthcare. It's in our business programs and the initiatives we built in partnership with UW Parkside called Forward Together, where programs directly align now into baccalaureate degrees so that we can take a look at the entire talent pool that we have. And we know there are great jobs at entry-level manufacturing. There are great jobs at middle-level manufacturing. There are great jobs at higher-end where bachelor's degrees are required, and Gateway can play a bridge to all of those avenues for our students and for future students. But probably its most impactful area has been our investment in helping young people and their parents understand where these opportunities exist. So sometimes it seems like you have to leave your home community in order to find that great opportunity. We know right here in southeast Wisconsin, this is probably one of the fastest growing regions in the state of Wisconsin, if not the Midwest. All the new jobs that are being built out along the interstate, especially with logistics, information technology, data management, Uline, Amazon, all those great companies that are here now, we need to provide a talent pool that's going to allow them to be successful. That's like Matt said, everything we see and touch and are a part of is manufactured somewhere, and there's a supply chain of industry opportunities that relate to that.
Ryan's guest today has been Matt Kirchner, president of Lab Midwest. We just have a few minutes left. Matt, I'm just curious, you run the family business. Which family member actually founded the business? And I'm curious as to what prompted the business to be founded in the first place. Was there did a light bulb go on or something? Why don't you just go ahead and talk about
that? Sure, absolutely. Well, the business was founded by my father, Dale Kirchner. He's been in this industry for 40 years. It's interesting, and I think Brian will attest to this. It doesn't matter where you go, a technical college, a high school, any tech ed program, the state administration, so on and so forth. Everybody knows who he is. That part of it is a little bit harrowing, stepping into a business where everybody knows the founder, and I've been doing other things for, 20 years and now stepping into it. I should point out that I run the business along with my wife, Renee. She's actually the CEO, and I serve as the president, so now I work for my wife at work as well as at home. That's been a little bit of an adjustment for both of us. But in terms of why the business was founded, I think it's really the same reasons that we exist today. There are great opportunities to train people in technical skills. And while those technical skills have changed, as we talked about earlier, significantly over the course of that 40-year period of time, the need is the same. There are opportunities for people to get into these careers where they get to work with their hands and they get to do really, really interesting things. And so that market has been there for a long time. I think the original founders of that market saw that we could start to bring technology to play in the industrial, what we used to be called industrial arts and is now called technical education, into that realm and into that world. And they've obviously, over the course of that period of time, done a great job of it.
And I'm guessing that some of your equipment will wind up on that brand-new Gateway bus that's the gleam in Brian's eye.
Absolutely.
Down the road.
I just, too, want to just acknowledge Dale and his continued support and friendship and confidence in the educational market. I mean, I've known Dale for 30 years, and so when he retired, it was a pretty impactful statement to the entire state of Wisconsin and to the region for the leadership he's provided, and the teachers gave him a nice recognition accolade at our last state teachers conference, and to know that we've been able to kind of transition now and work that close with Matt, and really Matt and Renee and the entire family. I had a chance to meet the whole family at our distinguished dinner for our Boy Scouts. They made a generous commitment to the Boy Scouts a year ago, and just so proud of all that they've done to help young people really find their path in our community and help teachers. Really what it is help teachers, get the right tools and equipment and the right ways to inspire young people so that they can become successful at no matter what type of program they're in.
Well, and I'm glad you pointed that out, Brian, that being at the WTEA, the Technical Education Association, meeting with you a couple weeks ago. It's amazing the passion that these teachers have for what they do and for their students. You know, I think back on my education, and I think all of us have a couple teachers that we can say just made a huge difference for us. And it wasn't really, you know, the time that they spent correcting tests or correcting papers or planning lesson plans. It was the ones that took a personal interest in what we were doing and really showed us that we maybe could do something we didn't know we could do, or showed us a vocation or a career path that we didn't know existed until we met that teacher. And that's a big part, I think, of what we do at Lab Midwest. If I can pick between an instructor sitting in an office dreaming up curriculum or sitting in their garage tinkering with a new training piece of equipment, or choose between that or maximizing the number of those moments one-on-one, teacher to student, that they can have to genuinely change people's lives, I'll take the latter every single time. And so our job is to do the first part, to do the curriculum, to create the training equipment and the e-learning solutions, deliver those in a way that maximizes the amount of one-on-one time between teacher and student.
Well, time has expired. It's been a real pleasure talking to both of you, learning about Lab Midwest. Been talking to Matt Kirchner, president of Lab Midwest, and Brian Albeck, president of Gateway Technical College. I'm David Cole.